Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Lamar Jackson rushed 15 times for 81 yards in their win over the Steelers on Saturday. That was the most rushing attempts he'd had since week one against Kansas City, where he had 16. The last time he had double-digit rushing attempts was against the Commanders on October the 13th. So this was a high-volume rushing night for Lamar Jackson. Could we be in store for another one Sunday, Jason?
I don't think so. I think that this is a game where they're going to lean less on the speed and the sprinting of Lamar and his legs, and more on the heavy power, the brawn, the size. Not that there isn't an element of speed that comes with Derrick Henry too, but I think this is about a sledgehammer on a team that does not have 330-pound, 350-pound two gappers. They've got light D tackles. They've got run and chase linebackers. They're built to play the pass on first, second, third, and fourth down. They cannot hold up, I don't think, against normal teams that lean to heavy personnel, let alone teams constructed like this with a first-ballot Hall of Fame running quarterback, a first-ballot Hall of Fame dominant power back, multiplicity in the run game, and now the element of the sixth offensive lineman, which everybody seems to be enjoying in their huddle and otherwise. There are some clips I saw the Ravens put out of Charlie Kohler. Like, everybody's enjoying the way they're road grading people, and nobody lives in nickel and dime as much as the Bills. I actually think some of the Lamar stuff with Milano and Bernard and some of these guys able to spy him a little bit, I think it might play into their hands a little bit. I think it's the exact opposite of the Steelers game, which was yin for yang. Last time it was all this Derrick Henry and not much Lamar. And we know the adjustments you're going to make. And we're going to flip the script on you. And we're going to have the slimmed down quarterback taking the lead early in the game and running five straight times and running 11 times in the first half. And that made sense then, and I thought that was coming. And I feel just as strongly that that's going to be more in the back pocket in this game. And it's going to be more about our 250-pound running back and our 265-pound blocking tight end and our 300-pound fullback and three tackles on the field who are going to outweigh anything you have. And we're going to beat you that way. And we don't even need to play receivers at all. And yeah, there'll be a time and place for Lamar. Lamar in the red zone with some runs out of spread, sure. But do I think Lamar's going to be toting the rock between the 20s like he was in this past game? I don't. Is Lamar going to be the de facto ball carrier in a lot of these third and shorts? Or third and fours even? Third and middle? No, I don't. I think there's other people there for that. I think the Mark Andrews tush push is something that is going to remain very much in vogue in this ball game. I think the 15 snaps of 6-0 linemen against the Steelers all run plays. I think we might get north of 15, and I don't think they're all going to be run plays this time. I think that's where it's at. And if Lamar has to take this over in the fourth quarter, and if there's opportunities for Lamar to run off script, sure. The design, that volume of design runs for Lamar, it could get there. I don't think that's the modus operandi.
That's where I'm at. If the game flow ends up getting to that point, then sure, could he lean into his legs? But I don't envision in the first drive, Lamar Jackson's going to have five carries. I don't think it's going to go that way. And five consecutive carries. I'd love to know how many times in his career, if ever, he had done that. And he did that in the game-opening drive. And even if you look at just the playoff games, where now he's played seven, the 15 carries he had against Pittsburgh was the third most carries he's had in a postseason game. The two Titans playoff games were above that. So even looking at the playoff history, it's not there. I think they're going to lean into where they have the mismatch against the Bills, and that's the size. That's getting heavy.
Well, the Steelers could get heavy, and the Bills really can't. And the other thing was, and I thought it was brilliant, and I'm sure it was part of their game plan, they knew the Steelers would sell out to try to stop Henry, and they had the mesh point thing. And you saw, if you watch the first quarter over, they're crushing Henry,
Oh, yeah. And
he doesn't have the football. Yeah. Like, 'cause Lamar, and Lamar didn't have, like, I think maybe his biggest game might have been 19 yards, but it was always in these situations where he got you ahead of the sticks or he'd get you a first down because the other guy's crashing into
yeah,
Derek Henry.
He put you in third and short, or he converted the first down.
Yes, correct.
Which he was the chain mover. That's usually the 250-pound running back. But, and I think in this game, it will be the two. Like, if you told me Derrick Henry had 10 carries in the first quarter of this game, I wouldn't flinch. Like, if the Ravens get the ball first and they have two full possessions and they move the ball, like, I think they're going to, like, even if the Bills sell out to stop the run, I wonder about their personnel to do it. And again, Lamar could throw the ball without there being a wide receiver on the field. He could throw it to whichever running back's there. He could throw it to Andrews. He could throw it to Likely. He could throw it to Kohler. He could throw it to Ricard even. Like, I think that Todd Monken can see an avenue to where his quarterback becomes the last thing we go to in the run game, rather than the Pittsburgh game where it was the starter. It was the opener.
Let me ask you this. Assuming Zay doesn't play, and I don't think we think he's going to play, if they go big with one receiver that usually is Zay, would it be Bateman? Like, who?
I think it just depends on what they're trying to accomplish and what type of route they want run and what the down and distance is and you know, how much actual blocking that guy might be asked to do. You know, I think it could be Aguilar. I mean, also, like, if it's Aguilar, they might think it's more of a tell that it is really a run game. I think they can play. Like, I thought Tylan Wallace did another nice thing on a screen pass.
Yes.
Like, if it's going to end up where Lamar's primary in a play that's going to go run 78, 90, whatever percent of the time is a horizontal pass, you could do worse than that guy on the bubble screen being Tylan Wallace. I mean, I'm sure they can run it with all different types of people, depending on where they are in the on the field and what, you know, what the score is, what the down and distance is.
Bateman could really kill them in play action. Where
absolutely,
if you suck up the defense where Henry is eating, then you could hit him deep with Bateman, and that could end up being a game changing play.
And it could also be Big Andrews and Likely game too.
And the Steelers, who have bigger personnel than the Bills, and who were better equipped to stop the heavy stuff. We saw what the Steelers did when the Ravens just tried to run under center against them in Pittsburgh. It didn't accomplish a whole lot, right? So that same group went with an 8-man box on 66% of the time when Derrick Henry ran the ball, 65% of the time, and he still ran for over 6 yards a carry against them.
Yeah.
Facing the 8-man box. And if Buffalo brings their, you know, you want to bring Hamlin down and those guys, that's fine. Like, he's going to run over them too.
Yeah.
So, like, their 8-man box isn't as girthy, to use Bone's favorite word,
nice,
as the Bills. And that's not to say that McDermott, with a week to scheme things up, can't come up with something. But I think he's kind of doing it with one hand behind his back because he doesn't have two gappers.
To your point, and we're going to talk about the first time these teams met in the next segment, but don't forget that at one point, Taylor Rapp came up to try to tackle Derrick Henry, ate his knee, and ended up leaving the game with a concussion. So, like, you bring the safeties up, you go ahead.
I think I weigh as much as DeMar Hamlin.
I mean, I do think they're compromised here. And I think the Ravens, you know, what did Monken say? They got scars from the championship game.
Yep.
I don't think those scars are healed. And this matchup looks like there's a way to road grade these guys and minimize what you ask that offensive line to do in pass protection and let Lamar take his deep shots, play action at a heavy personnel, play action from under center. and attack these guys with the fullback, with the blocking tight end, with Derrick Henry.
Ravens and Bills this Sunday. These two teams played on September the 30th. The Ravens ended up blowing out the Bills. What can we glean from that game that could carry over into this one? We're going to tell you next here on The Fan.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Out of the pistol with Derrick Henry as the back. Here goes Henry off a big running game against Dallas. Derrick Henry on the run. Had Lenny Lewis chasing at the 40, at the 30. He will score. Got it from the 9. No, fake it. Lamar Jackson's going to take it to the end zone. Baltimore touchdown.
And we were running the ball. I thought very creatively, but also the boots, some of the quick play action passes were good for us. Lamar again has just been fantastic.
Here are the highlights. That was NBC, and then you heard John Harbaugh after the game just talking about the way they were able to win this football game. Derrick Henry, first play from scrimmage for the Ravens, takes it 87 yards for a touchdown. He rushed for 199 yards and a touchdown, had another receiving touchdown this football game. Lamar Jackson, just 156 yards, 2 touchdown passes. He also ran for a touchdown and 54 yards. Ravens win 35-10.
Yeah, I mean, look, they were creative in how they ran the ball, but not nearly as creative as they are now. And two-thirds of Derrick Henry's carries in that game were under center. And he, for the first 13 weeks of the season, two-thirds of all his carries this season to that point were under center. It was their bread and butter, and it worked against a lot of teams. Didn't work so well against Pittsburgh the first time. Didn't work great against Cleveland. Certainly didn't work against the Eagles. But it worked against most teams, and it was efficient against the Bills. But what killed the Bills was the 8 pistol runs that he had for 132 yards and a touchdown. Again, 16 under center. We know since then, since the bye, it's flipped. And now two out of every three carries almost are in the gun rather than under center. When Derrick Henry ran out of the gun with Pat Ricard on the field against the Bills, five rushes, 116 yards, a touchdown. They ran one play, the Ravens did, in that entire game with six offensive linemen on the field. They just did it 15 times against the Pittsburgh Steelers. They did it 12 times in total, the first 15 games of the season. They've done it 29 times in three games since, and I suspect they do it quite a bit against the Buffalo Bills. The Buffalo Bills allow almost 6 yards per carry with a fullback on the field this season. Only Houston was worse. And look, what really struck me in going back and looking at that first game was how little they asked of Rashad Bateman, Zay Flowers, and Mark Andrews outside of the assigned blocking scheme. Those two had four total targets. Those three had four total targets. Those three pass catchers combined for 33 receiving yards between them, and it was still a complete and utter blowout. And the running backs, Hill and Derrick Henry, touched the ball 37 times for 305 scrimmage yards and three touchdowns. They ran the entire offense, run and pass, through the running backs, and the Bills had no answers.
What's even crazier about that, Jason, is in that game, Lamar didn't attempt a tight window pass, which is less than 1 yard of separation. 13 of his 18 total pass attempts coming on targets with 3+ yards of separation. The average separation by any pass catcher, 4.5 yards. That is butt naked wide open. Guys were running against Buffalo. And that doesn't even include the defensive performance that they were able to put on Josh Allen, where he was harassed. 44.1% pressure rate. That was his second highest pressure rate in a game over his past two seasons. Bills had only 12 first downs in that game. That was their fewest in a game in their last 5 years. And one matchup in particular to keep an eye out in this football game, Kyle Van Noy on Spencer Brown, their right tackle. He had a team-high 4 pressures on 19 pass rushes and had 2 sacks.
And that's an offensive line that's been somewhat impervious all year. It is one of the strengths of the team, and they were in a great vein of form all year, but especially coming into that game. I remember talking to Baldy about it, and I'm like, is this the best unit in the league right now? And he's like, you know, I don't know if I could say they're better than the Lions. That was still a pretty fully healthy Lions team then, but he's like, they're certainly in that conversation. And look, they're healthier now on defense, the Bills are. And if you tell me that Bernard and Milano and these guys coming back means that Henry and Hill don't combine for 9 catches on 9 targets for 88 yards and 2 receiving touchdowns, I'll buy that. But I don't think it does a whole lot to mitigate what's coming when they run with Pat Ricard on the field. And Ravens rushing plays against the Bills with Pat Ricard on the field, 23 rushes, 201 yards, a touchdown, 8.7 yards per carry. And frankly, I think if it wasn't such a blowout, it could have been more.
The thing to me is, the Ravens still hadn't figured out fully what they were doing running the football, and they ran the ball all over them. And Jason, you gave a lot of the numbers yesterday. The Bills aren't good at stopping the run. Like, the Broncos don't run the football. So, like, you almost have to take that game this weekend out of it. They aren't good stopping the run. And now the Ravens know exactly, like, they have multiple ways they can beat you with Henry running the football. And I don't think the Bills are going to be very good at stopping any of them.
Yeah, I think styles make fights, and this is a very tough ask for the Buffalo Bills. And I also think it's worth pointing out, Eddie Jackson outsnapped Ardarius Washington in this game.
Mm-hmm.
Marcus Williams played 92% of the snaps.
Neither one
Kyle
will be
Hamilton was
this
still
time.
Being asked to play in a position that Marlon Humphrey is basically in now.
No Michael
Trenton
Pierce.
Simpson was playing 2/3 of the snaps. And I do wonder if he factors back into this, and we'll get to that in the next segment where we drill down on Josh Allen. I do wonder if he has at least a little bit more of a role in this game because of some of his athletic traits compared to the guys who have replaced him. But there has been a fair amount of transformation going on. Like, Ajabo had a lot of snaps in this game. Like, it was a diff. Brent Urban played a lot in this game when they met last time. This defense has shifted pretty seismically since
this
then.
Might have been peak Eddie Jackson with the Ravens. He had a tackle for loss and a quarterback hit in this game.
I don't remember either.
But he did.
This was pre-abstaining.
Yes, this was. Well, yeah. Well, he was. Yes, he did.
He abstained.
Well, Marcus Williams also abstained.
It was going around. It was an epidemic for
him. Yeah. And then, of course, the infamous Deontay Johnson abstained, which got him suspended.
Yeah.
Who, if you're just tuning in, Deontay Johnson got released by the Houston Texans today. So, more things change, the more they stay the same. Coming up next, we all think Lamar Jackson is going to win the MVP, but that's no knock on Josh Allen. Josh Allen is an exceptional quarterback and an exceptional athlete. What do we expect from Josh Allen Sunday? How do the Ravens stop him? We'll discuss next here on The Fan.
Well, they got after us earlier this year, so we got a lot of film to watch. It's a great team. It's a great quarterback, obviously, with Lamar, what he's able to do. He's one of the most dynamic, if not the most dynamic, quarterback in the league. He's so fun to watch. But I'll be watching their defense this week, so that's our focus.
Josh Allen, after the Bills defeated the Broncos 31-7, Josh Allen was 20 for 26 for 272 yards, two touchdowns, also rushed for 46 yards. He's a weapon, and I do feel it needs repeating. Despite the fact we think Lamar Jackson's the MVP, that's no slight against Josh Allen, who's been a great player this year, and he's going to be a handful on Sunday.
He is. He is an exemplary football player. He is the personification of what the modern quarterback has become, and he's even a little different than other people because he's built even more for power than most. I mean, they're listing him at 237. Okay? They're listing him 15, 18 pounds more than some of their starting linebackers. And he still has blazing speed, and he has a howitzer of an arm, and his accuracy has improved immensely since he left Wyoming. His decision-making has improved immensely. He has cut down on his turnovers, and not just his turnovers, but his turnover-worthy plays. There's not as much variance and luck involved. It's his game is so much more precise than when he kind of entered this league as like a wild stallion that needed to be harnessed a little bit. And if the Bills win this game, he will have been the best football player on the field. I don't think there's a whole lot of scripts that end with them, even at home. And even if it's a weather game or whatever, I don't think they win without him being better than anybody else. And his best is better than pretty much anybody else's best. Lamar Jackson, one of the very few excluded. But like, Josh Allen's now played 11 playoff games. He averages 55 rushing yards and 272 passing yards per game. I mean, we're talking about over 325 yards from the quarterback per game, and we're coming up on two-thirds of a sample size that would equate to, you know, two-thirds of a regular season. Like, that's a lot of games. And unlike Lamar, you know, he didn't get stuck in neutral in the playoffs for four, five, six games. This kid's got five touchdown games in the playoffs in his past, four touchdowns. I'm just talking about passing. Mm-hmm. Four touchdown passes at Arrowhead in a game they should have won. Like, he's brought it from the beginning. The team, it's been a minute since the team won more than one playoff game in a season. I get that. But they haven't lost because he hasn't produced enough. Again, he's the first and only player in NFL history to average over 250 passing yards and over 50 rushing yards per game in the playoffs. And again, this will be his 12th playoff game. Also this season, he set a record. Fewest percentage of plays with a sack, fumble, or interception. Just 4.17% of the time Josh Allen had the ball in his hands this season, did it result in a sack, a fumble, or an INT? That's the lowest by any quarterback in a season since the merger in 1970.
Josh Allen, you could easily make the argument that he should have beat Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, not just once, but last year.
Yes.
I mean, remember the missed field goal at the end of the game.
But he only threw for 186 in that game, and they were dealing with Diggs not being a factor anymore, and it was dink or dunk.
For sure, but he was this close to beating him twice, and
they had the lead, and they late in the first half, they should have put their foot on their neck.
Yeah. Josh Allen is a hell of a football player in his own right, but this Ravens team has had his number. They're 2-2 against Josh Allen, but if you look at Allen's career numbers against the Ravens, they're pretty bad. to be blunt, 48.7% completion percentage, 5.2 yards per attempt. He's got two touchdowns and a pick, 66.3 passer rating. Those are the regular season numbers. And then, of course, he beat the Ravens and Lamar in the playoffs, in the 2020 playoffs, and not all that great there. 206 yards passing, a touchdown, 86.1 passer rating. The Ravens have been able to corral him thus far.
They have. But a lot of that was with Patrick Queen,
yeah.
Different sort of athlete, yeah. And you know they had the Patrick Queen and Roquan thing going for a while together, and Trenton Simpson did play a lot in that first game.
Yeah,
and I just wonder, you know, you like Malik in there, they're going to run the ball. You like Malik against the James Cook and some of their other backs, but I don't know about him as a spy, and
third
maybe
long.
Is Roquan a spy? I wonder if Trenton Simpson, depending on how this game goes, because of that speed and that athleticism, I wonder if he does find his way into this mix a little bit more. Russ was a guy who was cooked. We said he was cooked. He don't really want to throw the ball that much anymore, let alone run it. This is a completely different assignment. So I'm just going to be interested to see that division of labor amongst the inside linebackers not named Roquan Smith. Do they use somebody else in that role? How creative do they get with it? I don't know. But certainly, like, I don't think the design runs are going to be super effective for them, even though they're very good at it. And we'll talk about the Bills' run game in depth tomorrow. But they like to get nasty with six offensive linemen. Well, all I'm going to say is that hasn't worked against the Ravens this year.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's going to be a lot of Josh Allen's legs. And like, he may have to run for 75 yards or more to keep them in this game. I think that might be what's required of him.
And another thing I want to point out, we talked a lot in the show about the Ravens running game, and we don't think the Bills can stop the Ravens running game. Well, you know what else that does is it keeps Josh Allen off the field.
Absolutely.
Like the Ravens are able to run the ball and shorten the game, which is probably something they probably want to do to keep Josh Allen on the sideline.
Look, this defense has changed its spots. This defense has come a long way, but we know there are some guys who can struggle on this defense, and we know that Brandon Stevens is a problem, and they're going to target him. And we know that this pass rush hasn't showed up all the time on the road like it has at home, and it hasn't showed up against really good offensive lines like it showed up against vulnerable ones. And this is an elite offensive line, and you might not be able to get the kind of pressure you want. So, yes, I mean, I am sure the Baltimore Ravens are like, I think they want to run the ball 40 times in this game between Justice Hill, Derrick Henry, Lamar Jackson, maybe a gadget, something for Bateman or something like that. Oh, yeah, and Mark Andrews,
yeah.
And heavy. So, like, yeah, I think that's what they're aspiring to. Like, I think they want to hold the football. I mean, against this defense, 36, 37 minutes, I don't think they're thinking that's out of the realm of possibility.
Ravens and Steelers, that game was a 28-14 final. Ravens and Bills is this Sunday in Buffalo at 6:30 start, 3 o'clock, Baltimore Game Day Uncensored pregame show. Can I announce where we're going to be? Is that official?
I guess.
Yeah, we're going to be at
official.
Bingo World in Baltimore doing the Baltimore Game Day Uncensored pregame show starting at 3 o'clock. So come on out and see us as we'll get you ready for the Ravens and the Bills. Coming up next, we'll get the text of the day. We will preview tomorrow's show and get you ready. It's BFD, right? BFD, sand studs and duds, because God forbid you can't do studs and duds on the first show after a Ravens football game, right, Jason? No studs, no duds.
It's Bones World.
Yeah,
we're just living
yeah.
In.
Well, that's
he
a,
says no. That's his domain.
Yes, we'll preview BFD.
All we can do is suggest.
Yes.
We can ask.
Yes.
And he will do the opposite.
Correct.
He will rebuff.
That is correct.
Which is his right.
BFD's at 6 here on The Fan. So final segment of the show. Before we get to the text of the day, Bon, I need you to help us out with some logic here. So BFD tonight.
Oh, God.
There was no show yesterday because of Maryland basketball, correct?
That is correct, yes.
But still no studs and duds tonight, right?
For 3 days after the Steelers game.
But
we got to move on. Well, this is a big game against the Bills.
The Ravens don't take the field till tomorrow.
I know.
They haven't moved on.
The coaching staff.
Yeah, well. Jason,
I don't have an argument with the Bone anymore. Let me ask a hypothetical.
Just if you had a hypothetical show, Jason.
Uh huh.
And your first show after
I wouldn't have a segment called Studs and Duds.
But if you did,
well, you've already lost me.
Yeah.
I'm already not a part of that show, so I don't know
what
to tell you.
You're out on Studs and Duds. No S&D for you?
Nope.
Thought you were a big S&D guy.
No. X Factors? Sure.
Yeah, you're
big. If done correctly.
Yeah.
Cynthia Freeland, by the way, understands X Factors.
Yeah, she did. She
did
made
you catch
a point.
That?
Yes.
Yeah.
I didn't call this out last week, but wasn't Roquan Smith one of your X Factors last week?
A slumping Roquan Smith at some point may have
first team all pro.
No, I'm saying last week. I thought it was ahead of the steal. I'm almost positive.
First team all pro.
Yeah, probably was.
I'm almost positive.
Probably was.
And I was going to call you on it.
No, I knew what I was doing. There's an explanation for it.
Yeah.
A first team all pro?
Do we really think he's first? Do we think he played like a first team all pro?
The AP writers said he's a first team all pro, Jason.
Since the defensive turnaround.
Yeah. They also, there's people who tried to tell you Aaron Judge was better than my man Otani a couple years ago.
He did win the MVP.
They were idiots.
He didn't get the JLC MVP.
That's right. He did not.
He didn't get the real one. Judge wasn't the real MVP.
Yeah.
I would have nothing to do with that show. So, I don't know. What more do you want from me? It's blood from a stone. Text of the day, Beltway Ben.
Yeah,
take it away.
Let's get to it.
Check 1, 2. Check.
Text of the Day is sponsored by Orsman Automotives, driven by OrsmanCars.com. Your trade is always worth more at Orsman. Shop their entire inventory now at OrsmanCars.com. Text of the Day comes from Jerry in Baltimore, who says, see a bunch of Bills fans using the injury excuse for the first game. We had a completely different defense. Pierce was out, no Tre'Davious White. Ardarius Washington wasn't playing, and the offensive line also wasn't clicking at that time.
Yeah, it was Rosengarten's first start.
You can just play that game with any game that was played 3 months ago in September, however long ago it was.
It's all coming out in the wash Sunday night.
Yeah, here's the good news. They're going to take the field at 6:30.
They will.
And they will play football.
6:30.
That's when the game
starts.
That's
the time.
Yeah.
Is that the real kickoff time?
It's probably going to be like 6:36.
Is it really?
Yeah.
They never list the real time. They always list the pregame time and make you think it's the real time.
No, well, 6:30 is the...
Yeah, it'll be like 6:36-ish.
That's the quote-unquote kickoff time.
Yeah.
You want to make a wager?
What's the
I bet this doesn't kick off till 6:45 at the earliest.
Oh, look at you.
I might take that wager. 15 minutes?
If I win, I get to tell you
to do
studs
S&Ds.
And duds whenever. And I make you do studs and duds about it. Might not even be a Ravens game, but then if I'm like, hey, Bone, you got to do a studs and duds on the G League game from last night that was played in Arkansas or whatever.
I got the terms. If he wins, you have to do studs and duds the first show after every game.
No, I want more than that. Don't negotiate for me.
What if I win?
You come up with. I want me to come up with what you get.
Yeah, you get to come up with.
You let me pick. You get nothing.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, you're asking me. Right, there you go. There's your answer.
Right.
You got to come up with your own thing.
All right.
But I think once a week I get to just mandate studs and duds, and it could be on whatever I want.
I like that too.
All right.
I like that too.
Okay.
I'll think about your punishment.
Go for it
and report back.
Sounds great. Now I can't wait for tomorrow.
Bone, speaking of tomorrow, what do we have on tomorrow's show?
Tomorrow's show, we have Tim Murray. Get our best bets with him. Charles Davis, preview the divisional round weekend. Ross Tucker was in Baltimore for the Ravens-Steelers game. And Sal Capaccio is part of the Bills Radio Network.
Is WGR? Is that the
sideline? He's their sideline reporter on game day.
Yeah.
Hosts some shows there.
So preview it from a Buffalo perspective.
In seriousness, what
he's not the biggest guy in the world, but they might need him on their defense.
Yeah, he might be bigger than DeMar Hamlin.
Similar.
Yeah, similar builds.
Nah, DeMar Hamlin's bigger.
Yeah, big guy. What do we got on BFD tonight?
Well, BFD, we're going to really dive into this Bills preview. We're going to hear some sound from John Harbaugh, who met with the media yesterday. Go around the NFL a little bit as well. Look at Mike Tomlin, Steelers future.
Deontay Johnson.
A lot of fun. Deontay Johnson might get
mentioned. He's a dud.
He is a dud. He is a sure dud. He's an absolute dud.
Eddie Jackson.
Dud. He played in that playoff game for the Chargers. See what happened? They lost. connected.
How about Tony Jefferson playing in those games?
How about him getting a turnover? Yeah. Like, that just, didn't he retire?
Is he going to go back to the Ravens scouting staff?
Probably. Unless he plays next year. Might play next year.
I don't know. Who
knows? Hey, we got to go. BFD is coming up next. We will
talk
to you.
Stud and dud free.
Yeah, stud and dud free for your pleasure. So we're back tomorrow, too, here on The Fan.